As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to turn to the scriptures. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee after he had been in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together, for a time of worship that we get to be in this place out of the cold and the rain. And we thank you for safety of everyone who got here today. And God, that you would speak through me and in spite of me, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Last week we read the first miracle of Jesus turning water into wine, and how Jesus took what was used for purifications and rituals and turned them into something new that overflowed with God's goodness. This week we're reading the opening scene of the ministry of Jesus in Luke's account, a bit more somber and serious as Jesus returns to Galilee and Nazareth, where he had been raised to. And he was visiting them and teaching them in the synagogues about who he was. This morning, scripture took place after Jesus' baptism and his time in the wilderness. And these are kind of the opening statements, the opening words of Jesus' public ministry with the people. It says Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit as he is empowered for his ministry. According to the New Interpreter's Bible, Jesus' reading and interpretation of the words of Isaiah in this scene function as a keynote to the ministry of Jesus, kind of the opening words of what Jesus was about, setting forth perspective for what was to be understood. We might call this Jesus' inaugural sermon, as we just had a speech by a president, his inaugural speech, and we heard a preacher from an Episcopal church speak as well this week. This was Jesus' inaugural sermon of the Gospel of Luke as his first time to speak to the people. The Gospel of Luke often speaks to the least and the last and the lost, also known as the largest population of needing to hear about the work of Jesus, words of purpose and mission. Preacher Fred Craddock said, "Luke places this Nazareth visit first because it is first. Maybe not chronologically, but programmatically for the ministry of Jesus, for the ministry of Jesus' followers." Jesus went to the synagogue, as was his custom, and commentary said that any male could be asked to pray or read portions of the Torah or the prophets. Likewise, anyone could be asked to give the sermon. Readers were appointed before the service began. Can you imagine if we ran our churches that way? Each of us walked in each week, ready to stand up and share a message. You came with your sermon ready, just like I came with my sermon ready each week, and we walked in, and before worship, kind of like I do with the Advent readings, and I say, "Hey, you want to read today?" And you'd be like, All right, got my sermon right here. That'd be fun to try. How about we start next week? Any person could be called upon at any time to preach or teach on the scriptures any particular Sunday. Zach, you ready? All right. That's a huge responsibility. One of the things that would happen is we would probably not anyone would show up next week, so we're not going to do that. Or everyone would be in Bible study. On this occasion, Jesus volunteers to read, and Luke implies that Jesus himself chose to read this part from Isaiah, and he drew selectively on the tradition to emphasize the ministry with the poor, the oppressed, the prisoners, and the blind. Of all the scriptures Jesus could have read from Isaiah that they handed to him, that could have been read that day, he chose this particular scripture. It's at the heart of the gospel of who Jesus was on earth, and whatever we take to be the heart of the gospel will be central in shaping our faith. In comparing the Gospels of Mark and Luke, we see that Luke rearranges Mark's order of Jesus' ministry in order to move this mission statement, this purpose of Jesus, to the front and center of that ministry. To bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, and new beginnings for all who have failed. We say these words every time, and when we read through the liturgy of Holy Communion, it's a good reason they're placed there, that they would continually be in front of us as we receive the bread and the cup and inspired and realize that Jesus is at work in our lives as we are at work in the world today. And we come back to the scripture over and over and over again to measure our work. Are we living and sharing the good news to our friends and neighbors and inviting them to experience this as we have? Lifting up the hurting, the oppressed, the blind, those who are suffering, those who are held captive. Dr. Paul Rees says, the gospel is neither a discussion nor a debate. It's an announcement. And that's how Jesus treated it. He didn't explain or argue or go on and on. He announced this news of what he came to do and let the worshipers make up their own mind. What it meant to be part of human compassion and social justice. Loving our brothers and sisters and caring for them in the same manner we have been loved and cared for by Christ. And Jesus' message was not just for the people of Nazareth, Galilee, but it's for us. That if we take this seriously, it has the potential to transform our lives and our nation, the world. That's what his plan was, and that's what our plan is to be like Christ. And to do that, we have to do as he did and live as he lived and share the good news as he shared the good news. To build the kingdom today as Christ was trying to build it then. And our task on earth, do people see Christ in us? If the church is the people and not the building, and we're the church not just here in this place, in this 2.3 acres, but we're the church beyond here, wherever we find ourselves, when we step away from our purpose, our mission, there's a corresponding depletion of the life and the vitality in the church. So you're like, well, how do I do this? How do I live out this mission? How do I do as Jesus commanded me to do? How about we make every person that meets us glad that they met us? What if we brought peace to every meeting that we had? What if we only said nice things about people and that we looked for the image of Christ in them? I bet if we did that, people would see Christ in you and me. Jesus came to turn things upside down and confuse everyone's expectations of how things are supposed to be, and he challenges us to this radical ministry as well. I think we're doing that, called to do that, through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us today. Today. Today, we are called to live in this radical way of ministry, empowering us and sustaining us to be blessed for good, to know that when people live this out today, the scripture is fulfilled. And so, friends, seize the day to love and to make a difference. And may your life be filled with the Holy Spirit as Christ goes with us and calls us to this mission, to this purpose. Each day we wake and our eyes are able to see a new day. May the day be filled with love, compassion, and peace towards others. Let us pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word for us for today. We thank you for our calling as the church and as disciples to live in the same way that you spoke of as you read from the prophet Isaiah and as you lived your life, healing people, loving people, inviting people to the table who others thought of as outcasts. And so, Lord, may we live out this calling each and every day. May we look to bring peace and love to the relationships that we encounter, that you place in our path. May we go to places that are off the regular track that we're on to meet people where they are. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.